Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker, we are People Power Radio in northern Minnesota. Join us at KAXE.org.
Yeah, and let's check the weather around the region, especially because we have a holiday tomorrow. Today, Thursday, sunny, high near 88, slight chance of showers, southeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, slight chance of showers as well, and thunderstorms, partly cloudy, lows around 70. And then tomorrow, the 4th, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Mostly sunny, highs in the low 90s. Southeast wind 10 to 15 miles per hour, good chance for showers and thunderstorms at night. And Saturday, showers and thunderstorms likely as well before 1 p.m. Sunny and highs, 77 north-northwest winds, 5 to 10. Wear your sunscreen out there.
Now it's time for the Up North Report.
For KAXE News, I'm Megan Buffington with the Up North Report. A missing Cloquet woman was found dead Sunday. Cloquet police began searching for 62-year-old Jane Corpola and her partner, 64-year-old Daniel Latterall, in late May. Both are vulnerable adults, and there was concern for their mental health and safety. The Aiken County Sheriff's Office found an SUV belonging to Latterall on Sunday in a remote area 2 miles north of Aiken. Investigators found a body nearby believed to be Corpola. Cloquet police found items of clothing belonging to Latterall near the scene during a search Monday. Search efforts are ongoing. Several Minnesota sheriffs and jail medical providers are suing the state over a new law concerning prescription medications for inmates. Chelsea Perkins looked into the lawsuit and has more.
The law requires jails to administer meds to incarcerated people if they were prescribed before they arrived. The complaint argues the law would take away discretion from local providers to determine what's best for the inmates and the situation. The sheriffs say it isn't always possible to confirm someone's prescription in a timely manner, especially because inmates arrive at all hours. Crow Wing County Sheriff Eric Klang is one of the sheriffs in the suit against the Minnesota Department of Corrections. He says they work to obtain medical records and confirm prescriptions as soon as possible. But in the meantime, they need to rely on the medical professionals in the jail and not necessarily take an inmate at their word.
You get somebody that comes in and says, hey, I'm on Ambien, but the guy's under the influence. We have to give them Ambien, you know, and it's like the doctors aren't going to, they don't want to do that, which makes sense because you don't want to mix alcohol and Ambien.
The lawsuit says complying with the law could result in harm or death to inmates and in civil liability for violating their constitutional rights. Not complying, on the other hand, could put a jail's license in jeopardy.
We don't take medicine unless we order the medicine, so we know exactly what it is. It's in a blister pack.
WCCO reports those who helped craft the legislation say the need for reform is because people have suffered serious health consequences without their prescriptions. The law was supposed to take effect on Tuesday, but Attorney General Keith Ellison agreed to postpone until August 1st while the court considers an injunction. Chelsea Perkins, KAXE News.
Internet provider Midco says the vast majority of its system is back online following the Bemidji storm. Midco teams identified over 300 damaged locations and say as commercial power is restored, smaller isolated damages to its plant are being repaired. The Midco Foundation also donated $7,000 to the American Red Cross to assist recovery efforts in Bemidji and Jamestown, North Dakota. Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union says it has donated $25,000 to recovery efforts. It's also offering a new loan option to support Bemidji and surrounding communities. Home equity disaster relief loans aim to cover a gap in requested funding and what's covered by insurance. The option is available until the end of August and is open to members and non-members. United Way of 1,000 Lakes presented this year's Volunteer of the Year Award last month. Danny Freyer fills us in on the winner.
This year's annual recognition goes to Shannon Antela of Great Tails Animal Rescue. Antela is the co-founder and president of the rescue organization. The volunteer-based shelter works to find permanent homes for stray, abandoned, or surrendered animals in Itasca County. United Way presented the award at their 2025 Community Impact Celebration last month. The other finalists for the award included Anthony Schaller with Itasca County Habitat for Humanity and Madeline Schumann with Grace House. as well as Dorothy Duquette with the Boys and Girls Club of Grand Rapids and Greenway. Danny Frere, KAXE News.
The Superior National Forest Resource Advisory Committee will make funding recommendations at its upcoming meeting. The committee will consider Title II project proposals. These funds are distributed as grants for protection, restoration, and enhancement of fish and wildlife habitat, or for other natural resource projects that would benefit federally managed land. The committee will meet virtually at 1 p.m. Monday. Find more information at kaxe.org. That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Megan Buffington, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report is sponsored by Woodland Bank, with locations in Grand Rapids, Cohasset, Hill City, and Deer River, dedicated to serving the financial needs of the community and their customers. More info at woodland.bank.
The Up North Report, local news from our region. Coming up next, we're going to hear more from Morning Edition talking about tax cuts and debt and Democrats on the Trump bill. That'll be coming up in just a bit.
We receive support from Dale's Auto Body, serving the auto body needs of Grand Rapids and surrounding communities since 1984, performing auto body and collision repair, as well as auto glass replacement, dedicated to getting you back on the road after an accident. More information at dalesautobodyinc.com.
And we receive support from Harmony Food Co-op, Bemidji's full-service downtown grocery store, offering people a variety of local, organic, fair trade, and conventional items. Open daily from 8 to 8. More at harmonyfoods.coop. Also on Facebook.
All right. Well, we're talking barbecue playlist.
Yes,
songs.
And we want to hear from you.
Yeah. Give us a text at 218-326-1234. We want to know what's your or perfect barbecue song, or what song would you add to the perfect barbecue playlist?
Yes, we've already heard some suggestions from Louis Armstrong, some Steely Dan, some, what was the other
Widespread
one?
Widespread Panic.
Yep.
And, yeah.
And you suggested Cab Calloway. Kishibashi. Yep. We want to hear from you. Text us now.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm A. Martinez in Los Angeles, California.
And I'm Leila Faldin in Washington, D.C. House Republicans scored a procedural victory overnight that puts the mega bill just one major vote away from final passage. But GOP leaders are running into some buzzkill from fiscal watchdogs. Forecasters say the measure would likely add trillions of dollars to the federal debt over the next decade while doing little to boost the economy.
NPR's Scott Horsley is here. So, Scott, the government is already in a pretty deep hole when it comes to debt. I mean, how much more digging would this do?
At least several trillion dollars worth. The precise figure varies depending on whose forecast you look at and what they include. But all the independent scorekeepers say this bill would add between $3 and $5 trillion worth of additional red ink over the next decade. Maya McGinnis, who heads the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, says that's not the direction the U.S. ought to be moving in right now.
Every fiscal warning sign is blinking red right now. Near record levels of debt, $22 trillion in additional borrowing over the coming decade, record interest payments that are growing faster than other parts of the budget. And this makes that worse every single way.
The bill extends most of the tax cuts from the first Trump administration and adds some new tax breaks on top of that. The biggest tax cuts go to the wealthiest taxpayers, while families making less than about $55,000 a year would on average end up worse off under this bill. That's because the tax savings those families would receive would be outweighed by cuts to safety net programs like Medicaid and food stamps.
Any economic payoff at all from all the tax cuts?
To hear the White House tell it, this bill is going to supercharge economic growth. But most outside experts are very skeptical of those White House numbers. When forecasters at the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office looked at the House version of the bill, they found only modest economic gains, and those were dwarfed by the higher borrowing costs. So McGinnis says the overall effect on the government's finances are likely to be negative.
For months now, people who support the bill have been saying, don't worry, this is going to cause massive growth. We're going to grow our way out of the whole problem. And what you see when you look at a dynamic score is, no, that's not the case at all.
when the government has to borrow all this extra money, that not only raises the interest cost for taxpayers, it also drives up interest rates for private borrowers like you and me. It makes it more expensive for families who try to buy a house or businesses that want to build a plant or buy new equipment. So that could be a further drag on economic growth.
So what did the president or congressional leaders have to do to get this bill across the finish line at this point?
Yeah, both the president and GOP leaders in the House are using all their powers of persuasion, or if not persuasion, just raw political muscle. Some lawmakers don't like all this extra debt. Others are worried about the fallout from the spending cuts. But even before the votes were tallied, McGinnis acknowledged none of that makes a lot of difference in the current political environment.
The remarkable thing is there are so many members of Congress who are concerned about this bill and frankly know it is the wrong bill for the moment that we are in. The question is whether they will be able to stand up to the immense political pressure that's on them from the White House, from the leadership, to pass a bill that they know is fiscally damaging.
And the answer appears to be that pressure is working. Of course, all these House lawmakers are going to have to face the voters next year. President Trump will not.
Yeah, the midterms right around the corner. NPR's Scott Horsley. Thanks a lot, Scott.
Good to be with you.
As we just heard, this mega tax cut and spending bill is expected to add trillions of dollars to the national debt, while its effect on economic growth is murky at best. Yesterday, I spoke with Republican Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio, a co-founder of the Congressional Freedom Caucus, about his support for the bill. Today, Democrat Chris DeLuzio of Pennsylvania joins me to talk about his opposition. He's calling in from the Capitol this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Layla.
Thank you for being on the program. I know you're expecting a vote maybe in the next half hour, so I do appreciate you coming on. Let's start with if it passes, which it looks like it will. How are Democrats going to respond?
I think we've been making a case against this bill pretty clearly, and I can sum it up, I think, pretty easily. That's not that complicated. This is a bill that is going to rip away health care, food assistance, and more to pay for pretty reckless tax giveaways for some of the richest, most powerful companies and people who have ever existed. It's crazy to see Republicans do this. I've heard the building trades, you know, we're talking the boilermakers, the iron workers, those kinds of workers. They've estimated this will cost them more than a million, almost 2 million construction jobs, calling it the biggest job killer in the country's history. It's nuts to me the Republicans are doing this. And I think we're going to see them within the hour probably pass this bill and send it to the president.
But if it does pass and goes to the president's desk, what will the Democrats do then to represent their constituents?
Well, I will tell you, every member of the House is up for election next year. I've got four vulnerable Republican colleagues in my state of Pennsylvania who are going to be hearing a lot from guys like me, who are going to be reminding their voters of what these people just voted to do, which is to put at risk hospitals in their districts. Western Pennsylvania, by most reports, we're looking at maybe five hospitals closed. We are going to see rising energy costs by the estimates, and we're going to see the deficit balloon the order of the trillion. I just heard you guys talking about it before I came on. Those are all problems that people are going to see and feel in places like Pennsylvania and Western Pennsylvania. And I'm going to be doing a lot to remind those members, constituents, of what they just voted to do.
Western Pennsylvania, blue collar part of the state outside Pittsburgh. It's an area where President Trump did well in last year's election. What are you hearing from your constituents there about this bill?
They're very worried about their health care. I mean, I've had lots of reports come in and calls and people sharing their stories. I'll share one, a 98-year-old woman whose husband served in World War II and has now died, who is in a nursing home and is going to run out of money probably in the next month or so without Medicaid. There is no way that she will continue to get care. I could share countless stories of something exactly like that, without Medicaid, excuse me. And these are people who have given a lot to this country. Who, you know, whether it's grandma or grandpap, whether it's a kid with disabilities, they need this health care. And to see that health care taken away just to funnel trillions to the richest and most powerful, it's fiscally reckless, it's cruel, and it's going to put at risk the kinds of hospitals and doctors' practices we need in the more rural parts of this country and in urban parts. I mean, this is going to affect communities all over America. And again, I just think it's fiscally reckless to have us all get saddled with trillions of debt to pay for this.
You know, we had Representative Jordan on yesterday, as I mentioned, and he really paints a very different picture of this bill. He said it helps families because it includes a school choice component and helps taxpayers because it includes a work requirement for Medicaid. I want you to just listen to what he said.
If you're an able-bodied adult, and you're getting help from the taxpayers in one of our social welfare programs, then you're going to have to work. And that is just good common sense. That is fair to taxpayers. That's good for our economy.
So why don't you see it as good common sense?
Well, if you listen to anyone who works in the healthcare industry, they are telling you that if these cuts to Medicaid happen, they are likely closing hospitals all over this country. Hospitals that serve people who have private insurance, who have Medicare or Medicaid, who might be veterans who are being seen out in the community for emergency. All of those people are at risk of losing healthcare because of this bill. So, again, I think this is really reckless, and you don't have to believe me. You can listen to everyone who has studied this in the healthcare industry of what we are likely to see with hospitals closing across the country and in places like Western Pennsylvania.
That's Pennsylvania Congressman Chris DeLuzio. Thank you so much for joining the program.
Thanks, Layla.
Supporters of abortion rights are celebrating a legal victory at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The case involved a law passed before the Civil War. Here's Sarah Lear of Wisconsin Public Radio.
3 years ago, the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, and providers stopped performing abortions in Wisconsin in fear of a law from the mid-1800s. In 2023, a lower court ruled that law didn't actually ban abortions and cleared the way for abortions up to 20 weeks of pregnancy. But as the case went to the state's highest court, that old law was still on the books. What it says is that it's a felony to intentionally destroy the life of an unborn child, except to save a pregnant woman's life. That worried Madison-based OBGYN Dr. Amy Domeyer, who says that line isn't always clear.
How sick is sick enough? Many of us feared watching our patients suffer as complications threatened their health and lives.
Domeyer was among the advocates celebrating Wednesday's 4-3 decision by the state Supreme Court, which confirmed the lower court ruling. Justices said the 19th century ban is no longer in effect because it was superseded by abortion laws passed later on. Wisconsin's Democratic Attorney General Josh Call says the high court opinion provides much-needed clarity after a long period of legal limbo.
The arguments we made have now been vindicated, but at a time when the rights of Wisconsinites and Americans are under threat, this case is a stark reminder of how important it is that we fight for our rights.
Meanwhile, Republicans are accusing the court of overstepping its authority. Speaking to reporters, the state's Republican Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu said he hadn't yet read the full decision, but
I'm not even sure what weird rationale our liberal Supreme Court used to do this.
A dissenting conservative justice, Brian Hagedorn, called the ruling pure policymaking, not a reasoned judicial opinion. The Wisconsin Supreme Court, officially nonpartisan, has had a liberal majority since August of 2023. That's after Justice Janet Protasiewicz won by a wide margin after making abortion rights a centerpiece of her campaign. At the time, that race was the most expensive judicial contest in U.S. history. It was surpassed just this spring when another liberal judge who's yet to take office beat a candidate backed by Elon Musk. For NPR News, I'm Sarah Lear in Madison.
This is NPR News.
Morning edition here on member-supported KAXE KBXE. I'm Andrew DeZingle. It is 7:19, and you're listening to the Thursday Morning Show, and we're here until 9 o'clock. Then we're going to hand things over to DJ Dang for Headwaters. And I said, I'm Andrew, but I forgot to introduce you, Heather.
That's Heather Johnson. I am Heather Johnson. Thank you for noticing. Oh, my gosh. Good morning.
Good morning. And we want to hear from you, the listeners.
Yeah, we sure do. We're looking for your can't miss barbecue tunes. So your barbecue playlist songs.
What do you want to hear on the bright summer day when you're grilling hot dogs and hamburgers? Yeah. Maybe some kebabs of some kind.
Ooh, kebabs. Yeah, that's a good one.
What would you want to hear? And we heard, we got a text from the text line.
We did. We heard from our very own Brenda, who says, "In Heaven, There Is No Beer" by Frankie Yankovic. She says, that's her husband's suggestion. You know that one, Andrew?
I do know that one.
It's a good one. It's a polka.
And we just got a fresh new text right in the text line. What did we get, Heather?
Oh, we, Susan is letting us know "Almost Anything" by the Beach Boys. I mean, yeah, super appropriate for summer. Thank you, Susan. That's a good suggestion.
Now we got to pick a Beach Boys song. Which would be the best one? Good Vibrations?
It's the one that Dan always teases me about.
Sloop John B?
Sloop John B. That's the one. You know, the Decemberist song that the Beach Boys covered.
So we want to hear from you. Text us at 218-326-1234. We just got another brand new text. CCR.
Absolutely.
That's a great band for a summer barbecue.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Classic rock. Any CCR is appropriate for a barbecue.
So you were talking to me earlier about what song I'd want to hear that would tell everyone to be quiet because we need to hear this song. And it would be "Come Sail Away" by Styx.
Heck yeah. And you know what I love about that? If people have had a certain number of beers, it's going to turn into a sing-along.
Yeah, everyone's going to sing along to that one.
So to that I would add, for the sing-along portion, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Ooh, that's a good one.
You don't even have to be in a car. Totally optional. You can be outside at a barbecue. Great sing-along song. Can I float something by you?
Yes.
This is going to be controversial.
Uh-oh.
Katy Perry.
Oh.
Firework.
Fireworks?
For 4th of July. No, it's not fireworks. It's one singular firework. Which has always bothered me. For me, it would be a no. Maybe for you, it would be a yes. Maybe sometimes. Maybe also it depends on beer consumption. I don't know. Let us know.
We also heard from Lisa, "Mungo Jerry in the Summertime."
I have some good news for you Mungo Jerry fans.
Oh, is there a new Mungo Jerry?
There are, I think, a couple of new songs. Yes.
Wow.
He's still around and he's still making music.
Wow.
Yeah. Very boppy, very summertime. Good. I like it.
That's what we want from Mungo Jerry.
Absolutely. It's the only thing I want.
We also heard from Laura, "Stella the Belgonia, Rubble Bucket."
Oh,
that's a good one.
Big, big hit here at the station, and I still walk around my house singing "Stella the Begonia."
And we also heard from another listener, "Feels Like Summer" by Childish Gambino.
Yes, anything by Childish Gambino.
Oh, although, I didn't know you were a Childish Gambino fan.
I am, but he goes by a different name now, I think. Did he change?
Well, he's always Donald Glover.
Right, but I think,
I think he's retiring the Childish Gambino.
Yeah, I think it's something like that. I can't keep up so much.
We also have our question of the week. Have you ever been in a parade? Tell us about any memorable experiences.
Yeah.
You can text us at 218-326-1234. Yeah. Heather, have you ever been in a parade?
Yeah, it was kind of a tradition to, if you were in the band, you were automatically in. Well, I think we called it pep band. We didn't march ever, but we would sit on really pokey straw bales on the back of a hay rack and play like oldies tunes. And
would you play "Hang On Sloopy"?
You know what? I think that was one of them. And then like, oh my gosh. Well, patriotic songs as well. But what were some, like, Doo-Wah Diddy was definitely one of
them. What about "Hey Baby"? Hey Baby.
No, not that one.
Oh.
Isn't that Tom Petty?
No.
No.
The one that's, "I wanna know if you'll be my girl."
Yeah. No, not that one. But I'm trying to think, like, I can see the pep band music. It was on, like, these slightly less than half size sheets of paper.
Yep. I forgot about that.
I can see, like, the font and everything.
Yeah, why were they so tiny?
Well, I think it's because some instruments you can put it on the little music holder.
Right, that's right. Yeah.
Not super applicable for flute. I don't. There's probably something you can do. So, spoiler alert: most of the flute music was just trilling, constant trilling. You know what trilling is? It's like.
That's what I would have guessed trilling was.
Yeah, it's like when the little cat walks in Looney Tunes. That's it. Oh, we got another text. Summertime by Doc Watson.
Ooh.
It's a very good one.
So we also, since we usually do this on the Wednesday morning show, but since we're doing this special edition Thursday morning show, we are doing From the Vault.
From the Vault on Thursday.
On Thursday. And Heather, you got to pick for From the Vault today.
It was a lot of pressure. It was a lot of pressure.
So let's... I think the song you picked is a good one for the summertime playlist, barbecue playlist as well. Do you want to introduce the song for the fine folks at home?
Yeah, we're going to hear Here Comes the Sun by Richie Havens.
So let us know your barbecue songs. Text us at 218-326-1234 while we listen to Richie Havens.
Right.
And that was Richie Havens from The Vault. That album was called Alarm Clock, picked by our very own Heather Johnson.
Thank you for playing that. That was delightful.
A fun song.
I think he has such a beautiful voice. So that
absolutely
that was uplifting for me. We received support from Hot Tubs of Northern Minnesota on Middle School Avenue in Bemidji, offering hot tubs, pool tables, saunas, and more. Learn more online at hottubsmn.com.
And we received support from Minnesota Power, an elite company powering the region's homes, businesses, and industries since 1923. Learn more about its vision of a carbon-free future at mnpower.com/energyforward.
We received support from Grand Rapids State Bank, committed to serving the Grand Rapids area for over 110 years. More at grsb.bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Now it's time for best wishes. We wish our friends and neighbors happy birthday and happy anniversary for today, July 3rd. First up, we've got Amy and Alan Detmer celebrating their 20th anniversary today. Happy anniversary. And Beth Waterhouse from Excelsior celebrating their 75th birthday today. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Also, Doris Longnecker, 86 in Pequot Lakes. Happy birthday, Doris. And Al Bellevaux from right, well, I was going to say Bemidji, but really Poposky, Bemidji area. Happy birthday, Al, to 66th. And Cheryl Colleen, it's her birthday today as well. I hope you all have the best day.
Yeah, and we're going to celebrate with a tune here. This is Brett McKenzie, who you might know from Flight of the Conchords. Oh, this song is called All I Need.
When I think of you, your heart of gold, you're all I need. Yeah, you got it all. When I think of you, you fill my soul. You're all I need. Yeah, you got it all. A million different places I could go, a million different things I could do. There's only one thing I really know. The road I wanna take, it's one of you. I hope you never had enough, 'cause I'd be lost without your love. You fill my soul. You're all
And that was Brett McKenzie with the song All I Need from the new album Freak Out City. Here on the Thursday morning show, I'm Andrew DeZingle here with Heather Johnson.
Good morning.
Good morning. And if you have a birthday or anniversary to share, text us at 218-326-1234. And we've been hearing on our text line, we've been asking you for a perfect summer barbecue playlist song. And we've got a few texts.
Yeah, we have a wealth of text. Craig says nothing complements great food, heat, and humidity like NOLA, New Orleans, Neville Brothers, Dr. John, Trombone Shorty, etc. Totally agree.
Nice.
And Lauren from Talmoon says summer barbecue song, Chuck Prophet, a summertime thing. Great choice. And Old Man River will be on tonight and let us know that he'll be playing some Mungo Jerry in the summertime. Summer's coming, long hot summer pontoon, and Jeff Sundin's favorite, Gone Fishing by Bing and Louie.
And we just heard a brand new one, Mike in Mendota Heights. Groovin' by the Young Rascals is a great summer barbecue song. So thank you. You can send us your text at 218-326-1234. Now, with the storm last week, there's a lot of work to be done in the community. Here to talk more about woodland stewardship is Eli Sager, University of Minnesota Extension Forestry Specialist based at Cloquet Forestry Center. Welcome to the show, Eli.
Thanks, Andrew. Good to be here.
Yeah, so maybe first off, we're talking summer barbecue playlist. Do you have a go-to song for a summer barbecue?
Well, I'm sure it's already been mentioned, and I don't know the band, but the song Summertime and the Living is Easy. It may not apply very well right now to the storm damage situation, but what a great song.
All right. You'll have to write it down, Heather.
I think there's a Louis Armstrong version of that, right?
Yep, I think there is. And, Doc Watson is the name I was looking for. I couldn't remember that name. But there's a version of his. There are several of them. There's just a ton. It's kind of a standard, but it's a great, great summertime song.
Excellent. So, yeah, we're talking about the storm that happened here in Bemidji a week and a half ago and talking about there's a lot of work to be done after a storm like this. So clean up after a storm like this, it can get overwhelming just having so many trees down and stuff like that. Where does one start in a situation like this?
Well, I'm going to start today with just sort of reviewing a little bit of what my colleague Angie Gupta said yesterday. I heard that interview and I just thought it was terrific. Angie really emphasized breathing a little bit, taking a look around, giving yourself space to grieve a little bit. An awful lot of what happens in a storm like this. I mean, sure, there are financial components. There are other components related to logistics and cleanup that I'll talk about here, but giving yourself some space just to deal with the change and deal with it emotionally is important too. But we talk about a few different things. Number one, most importantly, obviously, is prioritizing safety. So, you know, chainsaws are just unbelievably dangerous. You don't need statistics to help you understand that, although there are statistics around. But you know, you're holding in your hand an incredibly powerful tool that can be heavy and a bit unwieldy, especially if you don't use them very often. And that tool includes a spinning, you know, series of knives, extremely sharp knives that are designed to cut through materials a lot harder than us. And of course, that's not the only tool we use, but a lot of storm cleanup involves a chainsaw. And so number one, please prioritize safety. And that has a few different elements. One is knowing how to use a chainsaw, how to do that safely. Taking a class if you don't have time because you're dealing with an immediate storm, just talking to a neighbor, taking a few minutes to understand the safety features like the chain break and other things and how to use those. It's bad enough dealing with a storm and the losses and the damage associated with that. You don't want to be dealing with an injury on top of it. The other component of that, it's not just chainsaws, but trees are extremely heavy. And when they're stacked up and piled in unpredictable and weird ways, it can be really hard to know. This might sound odd, but it can be hard to know where the forces are you know, how the various forces are arrayed in that situation. And trees can fall. I had this happen to myself. I've taken chainsaw safety courses. I have used a chainsaw quite a lot. And 4 or 5 years ago, I was working in a situation like this near Highway 2 north of Cloquet, and had a tree fall on me in an entirely unpredictable way. And fortunately, I wasn't hurt too badly. But again, I just want to, you can't emphasize enough prioritizing safety.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds scary.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it seems like it would be a great opportunity to ask for help. Where can people find help with this cleanup? Because, you know, if you're exhausted, that's a really bad time to make mistakes.
Right. Yeah, you're right, Heather. And fatigue is obviously a big factor. So the sources of help depend on the type of help you need. So we in Extension focus primarily on, or at least my work is focused more on forests and woodlands than on individual tree care. But obviously more people are affected by damage to yard trees. And so arborists who can, you know, tree care companies who work in the community are, I mean, you don't need advice on that. Obviously, that's an important point of contact, and they're going to be able to help. So there are certified arborists. You want to look for, ideally, an institute of an ISA certified arborist. But we'll take the help we can get in most cases. And in, for storm cleanup, you know, just finding an arborist who's available can help. Thinking more about woodlands, the Department of Natural Resources, DNR forestry offices can help. They often are hubs and points of contact for all sorts of information related to trees and woodlands. And DNR local office is certainly available to help. Just on the north side of Bemidji, there is there's an office up there. I'm sure they're busy.
Yes,
all of these folks are busy. Yeah. Local Soil and Water Conservation District can be a great point of contact. And Minnesota Forestry Association. There are other organizations around, but I mean, number one, you know, simply because all those organizations are so busy, it's often going to be friends, neighbors, family members. And not to harp on it, but no one can be more helpful to yourself than yourself. And Heather, you mentioned fatigue and taking frequent breaks, making sure you have plenty of water, plenty of food. Most accidents like this happen when you're tired. Maybe you're not making good decisions. Maybe you're not fully pausing to look around and assess potential dangers. And that's when things can happen. So be your own best friend and best helper, and give yourself a break when you need to.
Yeah.
So there's no way to, like, really prepare for a storm. Like, you wouldn't think that a 106-mile-per-hour wind would come through the area. But is there any things that people can do to kind of help prepare themselves for bad storms like this?
Yeah, there are. It's a good question. And you're right. I mean, and there's just plain risk in the world. And you, as you say, you can't predict when this is going to happen, but you know that it's going to happen sometime. And if you own and manage land or just are living in the world, you know that we're going to be facing unpredictable risks and storm and issues like this. So what can you do in your woods? Trees that are used to being exposed to wind tend to withstand it better. If they're buffeted by the wind, you know, a single yard tree growing in a large open area faces wind every day. And that tree is likely, it's likely to have a stronger stem, to have branches that are a little bit stronger because they're buffeted. They say what doesn't kill you make you stronger, and that applies to trees too. So in an individual yard tree situation, that tree's probably pretty wind firm. In a woodland situation, thinning your woods can make those trees a little bit stronger. Now, so giving those trees a little bit of space, thinning them out like you would the carrots in your garden, Having a professional logger come in and help you do that can be a good idea, because it makes each of those trees a little bit more exposed to wind and therefore a little bit stronger. So that's one thing that can help. Again, even the best managed woodland stand is not going to stand up to 106 mile an hour winds. But yes, actively managing that forest. You know, we see a lot of plantations, a lot of wooded stands that are very, very old, and the trees are super tightly packed together. And those are especially vulnerable to damage, not only from wind, but to the things like the heavy snows that we saw across a lot of northern Minnesota a couple of years ago that, you know, bend and break trees as well. So talking to a forester, managing those woods, thinning them out a little bit, making sure those trees have plenty of room to grow, those things are going to make your trees and woodlands a little bit more resilient to storms like this.
Yeah, I never think about thinning the trees out like the carrots, but that's such a great point. So Angela Gupta yesterday had talked about how replanting trees and watching them grow can be very healing. Do you have any advice for homeowners who might want to plant some more trees?
Yeah, again, the sources of information I listed before, DNR, the local Soil and Water Conservation District, Minnesota Forestry Association can be a great source. Others, talk to friends and neighbors. What's growing well right here where we live on the soils and in the situation in which we live? Those can all be really good sources of information. Another is just look at what's growing really, really well on your property right now. Most woodlands will have little openings and you'll see trees regenerating in there. And seeing what's thriving right there can be a good source. But Extension, and Angie mentioned this resource just the other day, has a relatively new resource called Climate Ready Woodlands. Mm-hmm. The Climate Ready Woodlands tree species list it includes a list of tree species that are well adapted to the native plant communities in which your woods reside, and the guide can help you figure out what communities those are. So they're trees that are already growing well where we live. And then they took that and they looked at projected, you know, what trees are going to do better in what we expect for our future climate, and cross-referenced the ones doing well now, the ones expected to do well in the future, and came up with a really good, pretty extensive list. There's going to be something there for everyone. And that can at least give you some guidance for what to find. And then local nurseries, whether they're commercial nurseries or if you're planting at a larger scale, the State Forest Nursery can be good sources. Again, Soil and Water Conservation Districts, they often handle the tree sales. DNR forestry offices can be helpful, and other organizations around the community as well.
Great.
So there was one thing I was wondering, and if this is something like that just can't be predicted, that's perfectly fine. But with this storm, a lot of trees went down that would have been homes for a lot of the birds in the area too. And so do you think the birds will come back to the area, or do you think they'll just move out of the area completely?
Oh, goodness. Birds will be fine.
Okay.
Everything's habitat for something. So woodpeckers are going to be real happy, you know, trees that might still be standing and, but have lost, their tops or branches. Those are going to be full of grubs. A lot of birds, this might sound surprising, but a lot of birds really, really thrive, including some birds that are of serious conservation concern thrive after clear cuts or, pretty extensive. You know, you can think of a storm like this as kind of similar to a clear cut, leaving a bunch of trees standing. Not every tree is down. And that mix of young trees and some older trees can be extremely valuable to species like the golden-winged warbler. The folks at the Natural Resources Research Institute, Alexis Grindy, Jerry Nemi before her, and others, did a pretty big experiment on an 800-acre site near Warba, not far from, you know, the area, not far from Grand Rapids. And it was an 800-acre, not a complete clear cut, but they found a really positive response in use of that site by a bunch of trees that need open, a bunch of birds that need open space that lasted for 15 or 20 years. So some birds that need interior forest habitat, they won't do quite as well in the area where the storm hit for the next little bit. But a lot of birds that require what we call early successional habitat will do great. So I wouldn't worry about them at all.
Yeah, I suppose that's something to think about is like, it's not the first time that nature has had winds this to blow it. So nature will find a way to work a way around it as well. Well, Eli, thank you so much for joining us. Do you have any kind of final advice for people with this situation?
Well, again, I just want to emphasize what Angie talked so well about yesterday. Give yourself some space to grieve and notice the changes, understand what's going on, and just give yourself that space. And when you're ready to, I mean, all you can do in this situation is get out and start working and cleaning up. And I know that folks have been doing that, obviously, for the 10 days or so since the storm. Extension has good information online. Look for the University of Minnesota Extension Natural Resources site, and you'll find some good information there. Reach out for help, family, friends, DNR, Soil and Water Conservation District. All of those folks can help. And most importantly, stay safe, take good care of yourself. And I wish everyone the best as they recover from events like this.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Eli, for joining us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So now we're going to hear from Lucius. This is from their new album, self-titled, and this song is called Impressions.
Direction, stand a little closer. Maybe it's not.
Man, that was Lucius with the song Impressions from their new album. You're listening to the Thursday Morning Show. I'm Andrew DeZingle here with Heather Johnson.
Yeah, good morning. We receive support from Paul Bunyan Communications, powered by the GigaZone, a broadband cooperative featuring all fiber optic GigaZone internet speeds up to 10 gig and local customer service. Learn more at paulbunyan.net.
And we receive support from Bemidji Brewing, announcing the release of the new Full Stinger Variety Pack, featuring the Blood Orange IPA and Lemon Drop Blonde, available in liquor stores now. Bemidji Beer, nice catch. And don't forget, we are taking your text right now on the text line for songs we want to hear in a summer barbecue playlist. And don't forget, at 8:05, we're going to be taking your phone calls. Our phone operator is standing by, waiting for your calls at 8:05, and we don't want to disappoint her.
We don't. No, never, never disappoint the franchise. You will not be happy. We also heard from Matt real quick about Itasca Soil and Water Conservation District in Grand Rapids is holding a forest workshop, Our Future Forest. That's in October, October 4th. It's free and might help a lot of people with forest and tree management questions for properties of all sizes. Thank you, Matt, for that info. I think we'll get it on the calendar for our announcements.
Absolutely. Now we're going to hear from the set list, talking about local music going on this weekend.
This is the set list on KAXC, where we highlight live music around the area for the upcoming week. I'm Malachi Coons. The day after the 4th of July is a busy one, with all spotlighted shows taking place this Saturday in Walker, Bemidji, Coleraine, and Duluth. Starting things off, the Crop Dusters are playing at the Green Scene Market and Eatery at 11 a.m. in Walker. They are a five-piece country rock band from the Fargo-Moorhead area who are releasing their debut album later this year. They have one single out so far called Northern Lights. In Bemidji, there is a multi-band punk show at the Rail River Folk School with music beginning at 4:30. Seven bands from Bemidji, Duluth, Minneapolis, and Fargo are playing throughout the day, ranging from shoegaze and metal to punk and alt-rock, and including Hollis Sparhawk's Willem Dafoe Fan Club. It's this Saturday in Bemidji at Rail River Folk School. In Coleraine, old-time quartet Sugar on the Roof are playing at Smoke on the Water at 5 p.m. It's the first of a six-show run throughout the Upper Midwest. The Iron Range group led by Megan Reynolds will bring an authentic mix of country, swing, jazz, and blues from the 20s, 30s, and 40s. And the final featured show on the set list this week is the annual Trampled by Turtles Summer Bayfront Concert in Duluth. Since last year's edition, the bluegrass group released the Always Here, Always Now collaboration with Dead Man Winner, and they recently backed up their friend and 2025 Riverfest opener Alan Sparhawk on his latest solo release. Joining the Turtles in Duluth are 2024 Riverfest performer S.G. Goodman and the 2025 Palomino Grant winner Sophie Hiroko. Music begins at 6 p.m. All four shows on the set list today, again, are taking place Saturday. The set list is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
And that is the set list, a look at local music going on in our area. I'm Andrew DeZingle here with Heather Johnson. We're your Thursday morning show crew. In about an hour, we're going to hand things over to DJ Dang for Headwaters.
We sure are. Support for KAXE comes from Music on Mount Itasca, taking place Saturday, July 12th, starting at 5 p.m., featuring local food trucks and live music from Brothers Burn Mountain and Morning Bird. Tickets and information at Mount Itasca's Facebook page.
And you are listening to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji. We are Northern Community Radio, telling the stories of the people and land of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Operating translator K210DR in Brainerd at 89.9. Listen at KAXE.org or on your smart speaker. We need people like you to support this local media. Text the word donate to 218-326-1234. Thank you.
Let's take a quick look at the weather for around the region. Today, sunny, high near 88, slight chance of showers, southeast winds 5 to 10. Tonight, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly cloudy, lows around 70. Tomorrow, the 4th, Friday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, mostly sunny, highs in the low 90s.